Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. It's February the 1st. It's a great day in Atlanta, great weather. We have three lovely women in the studio today. I will get to that in just a moment. And joining us in Dallas, Texas is Brad Culp and Kevin Ritz. I don't even know who you are. There you go. So I've done it. We started. Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. At least you got the first name right.
Yeah.
And you got the boo-boo out of the way.
That's right. I was telling Carrie, our guest, not to worry because I have a tendency to do that. And sure enough, right out of the gate, that's all right. How's things in Dallas, Texas?
35 and beautiful. Yeah, startling.
Yeah, that's
especially given the fact that, if you recall what was happening here a year ago, we were getting ready for the Super Bowl, and we had an ice storm, and it was about 50 degrees colder.
Well,
we're happy not to be repeating that.
I can appreciate that. I want to pay special tribute to one of my guests in the studio today. Joining me at my left is my lovely, beautiful wife, Erin. Good morning.
Wow, well, that's a first.
Yes,
good morning, Erin.
Her mic's not on, so
she doesn't have a mic. Okay.
That's all right. Our guest today...
Just window dressing, eye candy, right?
That's right, eye candy, to keep me straight. That's why I was stuttering and stammering when I began. Okay, let's get started. Joining me today in the studio, we have Sue Sharp. Sue was with us about 3 or 4 weeks ago from Mobility Express. And also is Carrie Bellware. Carrie is the Executive Director of Senior Services North Fulton. So we're going to get started. Good morning, Sue. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Carrie. Now, again, you got to talk like you mean it, okay? Speak like you mean it.
Good morning.
There you go. Okay. We want to begin with Carrie and just start developing exactly what it is that she does. And what does Senior Services of North Fulton do for our aging population? So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Carrie. Good morning. And start by telling us a little bit of your background and then move into Senior Services.
Thank you for having me. I'm the Executive Director of Senior Services North Fulton. I've been in this role about 18 months, and I love it. Senior Services North Fulton is the only aging services provider serving older adults and their families in the North Fulton community. We provide Meals on Wheels for the 6 cities in North Fulton. We have a medical transportation program. We operate 3 senior centers, one in Sandy Springs, one in Roswell, and one in Alpharetta. And we have a staff of care managers who work with clients in the home to bring in much-needed in-home services for those who require either some housekeeping support, personal care assistance, or respite.
That is a great introduction. Let's drill down. On a given day, tell us what your staff might be doing for our senior population.
Well, our staff who are located in our senior centers will be greeting the seniors when they arrive. We provide transportation to bring them from their homes to our senior center. They come in as early as 8:30 and have breakfast with us, have some breakfast snacks. We provide a full morning of programs. We have shopping trips once a week because most of our participants do not drive anymore. They stay with us through lunch. We provide a hot lunch every day, and then we take them home. And senior centers are very, very special places. They're places where older adults can come and socialize and be with their peers. And it really reduces isolation, particularly for those who are no longer driving. So it's a very, very unique place to be.
It is, and Sue's heard me speak of this, in our business with Griswold Special Care, a home care agency, it's the one thing that we have to fight. We love having caregivers in the home for the personal one-on-one care, but if you're not very careful, you become a prisoner almost in your own home, and you lose that social aspect as you're speaking of.
It's, absolutely. Yeah. That's what's so special, I think, about our program, because we do provide the transportation. We are able to get seniors who are still independent but living at home out of their home and to a community setting on a daily basis, Monday through Friday.
Beyond the daily social activities, what other services might be available to a senior?
We also have our care managers who are visiting with our homebound clients, people who are in the home. And when they visit with them, they are coordinating other services that might be needed. Most importantly, probably, would be our Meals on Wheels. I'm sure most of you know senior hunger is a huge problem in Georgia. We are the sixth worst in the nation for senior hunger. So you can imagine how important our Meals on Wheels program is. So we are there making sure that seniors who are living at home are getting the nutrition that they need. We're also coordinating those in-home services because, as you know, sometimes all it takes is having someone come in once or twice a week to provide a shower or a shave that allows someone to remain at home, having someone come in to launder sheets and run the vacuum could be the difference between staying at home and having to move to an alternate living situation. So our care managers they're so important. They're in the homes every day working with our clients, making sure that they are able to remain at home with the needed services for as long as they choose to.
You spoke, let's take a step back. You spoke that something that obviously got my attention about the Meals on Wheels. This statistic that you threw out, we are the sixth worst. Develop that for me. What
I wish there was
a more diplomatic way of saying
yes,
it.
Yes, and we've struggled with that as we write about it. But Georgia has a huge problem with senior hunger. And the Meals on Wheels program is there to combat that. Unfortunately, we've been on a hold for quite some time. We have a waiting list. We're actively fundraising in order to support that program. What we do is we bring a frozen meal to our clients on a daily basis. And I can tell you that the meal is incredibly important, but equally as important is the visit that comes with that mm-hmm. meal. And we have 400 wonderful volunteers who bring all of the meals to our North Fulton community. They are angels on this earth. They go out in horrible weather. They are such an important part of our organization. We could not do what we do without our wonderful Meals on Wheels volunteers.
Those volunteers, correct me if I'm wrong, but typically I see them as being of the peers or being peers of the, right?
Oh, absolutely. About half of our Meals on Wheels volunteers are seniors themselves, reaching out to other seniors. So it's just a wonderful program, and it's a horrible problem. And we are at the forefront of trying to stop senior hunger in North Fulton. And senior hunger does exist in North Fulton.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And it's throughout the state, but it is here in our North Fulton community.
Is there, can you briefly, why is in Georgia, why in North Fulton County, of all places, that is a problem?
Well, the economy is terrible. And as you know, our seniors are living on limited incomes, and they're just getting by, many of our clients. And I think they can piece together some staples from the store, but in terms of a hot meal, they need our help.
Are they not eating at all, or are they eating poorly? In other words, are they moving to fast foods as the fallback, or none at all?
I think it's a combination. Uh-huh. I mean, part of the issue, I believe, is the lack of transportation to be able to get to the stores on a regular basis to get food. A lot of it is food is extremely expensive. Another issue is cooking food. It's when you get to be quite elderly and frail, it's not easy to cook for yourself. So we provide a nutritionally balanced meal and that can just be popped into the microwave. And we know that at least these older adults are receiving one hot meal a day.
Is there any qualifying events that would keep someone from not participating in this program?
Well, I think getting the word out about the program is the most important thing that we can do. You call us, you call the Fulton County Office of Aging. There are places we can connect you in order to get qualified for the program.
All right. That leads us a good segue into another service that you provide, transportation.
Yes, we do. We have a medical transportation program. It's called TOPS, and we are able to take older adults to their medical appointments. For those who are independent and can get there on their own, very often they're able to ride on a van, and we can drop them off and pick them back up. But for older adults who are more frail and need more assistance, we are able to provide them with what we call our one-on-one service, which will take them in a passenger car with an aide who can go and guide them and assist them at the doctor's office, take notes if that's necessary, and make sure they get safely home.
Can we stretch, can that be extended to other services such as pharmacy and grocery shopping and things of that nature?
Right now, no. Right now, we are meeting the greatest need, and that greatest need is for medical transportation. Our goal is to expand and be able to do more trips beyond just the medical, but there are other places that older adults can go to get more routine transport through the Fulton County Office of Aging, and we could refer them there.
Okay. Obviously, this is, I know why I do this in the senior market. I guess the direct question that I'm wanting to ask is, why are you doing what you're doing?
Wow. Well, I love what I do. I've always loved what I've been so blessed to be able to do. I know for me personally, it came from having just a wonderful relationship with grandparents and aunts and uncles as a child. And so many of our staff have had other experiences in their life that draw them to working with older adults. And we always say that it is a bit of a calling. Some people are drawn to work with children. Some people are drawn to work with the unemployed or different populations. But our staff is just drawn to working with older adults. And we all 18 of us, we all adore it.
That's great, great. Joining us... Go ahead, Brad.
I was just going to ask, can you talk a little bit about how you got involved with Senior Services North Fulton? What did you do prior, and what led you to ultimately be here as the Executive Director of Senior Services North Fulton?
Well, I had kind of a varied career in the nonprofit world and the for-profit world for many years. When I moved to Georgia in 1996, after getting my family resettled, I was hired on a very part-time basis to work with Jewish Family and Career Services in their older adult services program. And over the years, I slowly went from 10 hours a week to 20 hours a week and full-time, and ultimately was there when we created the Older Adult Services Division. And I was there for 10 years, and I loved every minute of it. I left the agency a few years ago to join my husband, who was working out of town. And when that, when we came back to Atlanta, this position opened, and I was lucky enough to land here 18 months ago. So it's a good fit for me.
That's great. Joining us also, joining Carrie, is Sue Sharp. And the reason that we're doing, one of the reasons that we're doing this show is that Sue sits on the board of Senior Services along with Carrie. And they have an event that's coming up that we want to speak about. So I'm going to begin with Sue. Just tell us a little bit about the event, and then we'll let Carrie give us the details.
Thanks so much, Sam. First off, I'd like to say that on behalf of the board, we feel so fortunate to have Carrie Belware as our executive director. She does an excellent job in leading the organization and opening new doors for us and continuing to look at alternatives to every type of problem that comes her way and the challenges that are we are being faced with in this economy running a nonprofit. So with that being said, with the challenges of the aspect of being fiscally responsible for this agency, we as a board have an annual fundraiser. And this year we're very excited because we've got a little bit of a different twist for it, and it's Art from the Heart for the seniors. And it will be February 11th, so we're just 10 days away, at the Atlanta Athletic Club. Tickets are still available. It's going to be a wonderful evening, and we're championing this also as a great night out for Valentine's. There'll be dinner and dancing, live music, and then, of course, our silent auction and our live auction. So we're very, very excited about it. But more so, we're very excited about what the proceeds of this will provide for the seniors of North Fulton, and that it will continue to allow us to open up that waiting list for the Meals on Wheels and to provide more transportation for those who need transportation to the doctors, and to continue the wonderful services that we offer at our senior services centers.
Does the proceeds all go directly back to the senior services?
Yes.
Okay. And if someone, well, we'll get, I'm going to allow you to tell us how someone might donate if they can't attend the gala affair, but we'll get to that. Tell us the details of this February the 11th event.
Well, as Sue said, we're going to be at the Atlanta Athletic Club, and the event will be 7 p.m. on February the 11th. It will be an evening of fine dining and dancing. We're going to have live music by the band Platinum, and we're just going to have a lot of fun. We are very fortunate to have, as our honorary chair, David DeVary, who's a New West artist who is very committed to our agency and is bringing one of his paintings for auction. And we have many other local artists who are going to be here, emerging artists who are donating their works for a good cause. So come out and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm going to speak to this. I was speaking with Carrie and Sue beforehand. My wife and I were talking about doing this, and my wife was hesitant because obviously she doesn't have anything to wear. But I'm sure as soon as she heard that it was art and there's going to be art available, that I'm getting bad looks, audience, but I'm sure that she will be inclined to attend. So I want to encourage anyone out there who might have an interest, who wants to support the seniors in North Fulton, to be part of this.
Thank you.
I want to ask a theoretical high level question to Carrie. If we have someone out in the listening audience that might have an elderly parent or starting this journey into this program, what piece of advice might you give them?
Don't wait till there's a crisis to start looking for help. It's easy to say, and we all put it off. I have a mother here too. But just get started early. Learn what the resources are. Learn who's in your community that can assist you. Visit a senior center. There are a wealth of information on resources and information, and they're just wonderful places to connect with. Come to our office. We're located on Sun Valley Drive in Roswell. Come and meet the staff and talk with us. We're here to help you. Just be prepared.
Yeah, typically we ask for this high-level question, but we certainly want to, at this point, plug Senior Services of North Fulton. This is a resource center for those who have questions virtually as it relates to any aspect of aging. And it is a great place to begin. It is a fabulous organization, and the people there are dedicated to enriching the lives of our seniors. We want to make certain that everyone has that down as a first line of action. Carrie, tell our listening audience, first of all, remind us once again about the time and dates of the Art from the Heart situation, and then tell us how the listeners could contact you or Senior Services if they need to.
Art from the Heart for Seniors will be Saturday, February the 11th at 7 p.m. at the Atlanta Athletic Club. You can go to our website to purchase tickets and get more information on our organization. That's northfulton.org. Or you can call me or call the organization at 770-993-1906.
That's great. We thank you for being our guest. Sue, thanks again for bringing carry with you this time. We certainly appreciate the information. We look forward to the upcoming event.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Sam.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Brad.
Thank you, guys.
And I guess that's the segue to you, Brad.
All righty. Well, I've been holding off beating you up, and I think it's fair that our listeners know that the reason you went first is because you're trying to bolt out of town and go visit some sunshine.
See, I'd be more diplomatic. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't bring this up if it were you doing this, Brad.
Well, you know, I know you haven't done this for a while, and we just want to say have a great time down in the sunny south.
Thank you very much.
All right. So we're here in Dallas, and we have a returning guest, John McNair, with us this morning. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
John, it's been a while since you've been on with us, so if you just remind us a little bit about your background, where you grew up and went to school, and how you got to where you are.
Sure. I am a native of Arkansas. Grew up in a small town in northeast Arkansas, Jonesboro. I went to school there and law school in Fayetteville. Came to Dallas in 82 to get a master's in tax law, and I've been in the Metroplex ever since. I've had a traditional estate planning and probate practice I'll be starting my 30th year in August. I know I don't look that way, right? But anyway. And then a number of years ago, I added an elder law practice to the estate planning and probate, and those are the two primary areas of my practice. Been board certified in estate planning and probate for a number of years, and so it's those two areas that I concentrate on.
John, you were on about 18 months ago, and you shared quite a bit with us. I'm sure there's been a lot of changes since then, and I just wanted to know if there were any changes that you thought would be relevant that we should share while we have you on.
I'll share a couple of them. One of them, which particularly affects a lot of folks that might be receiving in-home care, has to do with one of the programs that we help with in elder law. And that is the number of veterans who are over 65 and served during a period of conflict qualify for a special benefit. The VA calls it a pension benefit. Everybody else in the real world calls it the aid and attendance benefits. And all federal programs for a couple of years did not receive a cost of living increase because there was no inflation for several years. But then this last year, there was a cost of living increase, and so the benefits for those veterans that qualify, and that's one of the programs where we help them qualify, those benefits have gone up. The current benefit level now for a single vet is $1,703 a month. The benefit level for a married veteran that qualifies is $2,019 a month, and the benefit for a surviving spouse of a veteran has gone up to $1,094 a month. So that's a useful thing for those veterans that might qualify for those types of benefits, and that kind of benefit can help them pay for in-home care so that it prolongs the period before they might have to go into assisted living or nursing home. So that's very useful.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with that aid and attendance program, can you share a little bit about what it is? You talked a little bit about what it can help pay for, but what are some of the qualifying criteria?
Sure. There's basically three legs to the stool for the aid and attendance benefits. The first is who you are. You have to be a vet who is over 65 and have served at least 90 days in the service, at least one day of which was during a period of conflict such as World War II, the Korean War, perhaps Vietnam or the Gulf War if you're over 65. You also have an income test, and the income test is this: the cost of your ongoing care, the caregivers that need to help you with activities of daily living or the caregivers that have to help you, say, in a memory unit in an assisted living, that expense on a monthly basis has to be equal to or greater than your income from recurring sources like Social Security and private pension. And the third leg is that you can't have too many assets. What that too many is kind of a sliding scale. It depends on your age. We try to help clients reduce their asset base, oftentimes with gifts into trust for children. The good news for VA benefit planning is that there is no penalty for making a gift and then trying to qualify. So you are oftentimes working on making sure that the income and the expenses more or less equal, and then you're also helping the vet make sure that their asset base is well enough. And then, of course, we help with the application.
John, I was talking to a client earlier this morning about qualification, and I know that there are, it can be a complicated evaluation, but is there a way to, do you have any tools that help you with an assessment to determine whether or not a veteran is likely to qualify?
The first thing I'm going to do is start asking questions to the family or perhaps the vet, and that is, would your personal doctor verify that you truly need assistance with activities of daily living or you need a protective environment in an assisted living? That's the most fundamental question. If you are still independent enough that you don't really need that, then there's no point in going forward. You really need to have the need to incur those expenses. So that's the first question I'm going to ask. And sometimes the first thing that a family member does after we have a consultation is they say, I need to go talk to dad's doctor to see what their situation is. They're kind of on the borderline. We're not sure. We're kind of right there. Maybe, maybe not. And I say, well, the first conversation needs to be with the doctor. Once you're past that, we can do the financial assessment. That's an easy part. That's not the big problem. The issue is, are you in the situation where you're incurring the expenses? Because the way the VA looks at it, they're going to make an evaluation of what your situation is for the next 12 months, and you need to be able to prove to them that you are right now and will continue for the next 12 months incurring those expenses.
So the reason for the 12 month is that they approve on an annual basis?
Right. Their approval is for an annual basis, and then they reevaluate on an annual basis.
And then my understanding is that the VA just writes a check to the family then on a monthly basis, and so it's not a check that's made out to a provider. It's up to the family to distribute the money accordingly.
Exactly. It is not like, say, Medicaid, where the state is going to write a check directly to the nursing home. With VA, they just write you a check every month, and that goes into direct deposit into your account. And since you need those care expenses, hopefully you'll be using that money for that reason, but nobody looks to see how you're spending your money.
And that it's reevaluated on an annual basis?
Right. They're checking to see that you still need the care, and they are checking to see that your asset and income situation hasn't changed.
Is there a limit? Is there a limit to the benefits over a period of time, or is it a lifetime benefit?
Every year, if you continue to evaluate that you need it, it will continue on. There is no limit.
What startles me is the client I was talking to this morning has late-stage cancer, and it's a benefit that they weren't aware of, and it's possible that they may only live 4 or 5 months, and the fact that they didn't know about it, now it may be difficult for them to get approved in time. And again, my understanding of this process is that if the client dies during the process before they're approved, then they will not be approved. And is that correct, or am I wrong about that?
Well, a lot of times, that situation is self-governing because people decide, I don't really want to go through the expense of dealing with an attorney if I know that I might not get a long-term benefit from this, because obviously we have to charge a fee for our services, and if the family doesn't really think that they will get that long-term benefit, then they won't. There's no point in going forward. And yes, you have an ongoing obligation to contact the VA if circumstances have changed, and if the vet dies, obviously the circumstances have dramatically changed, and they're not going to continue to process that claim.
So even, you know, there's nothing to stop a family from applying to the VA on their own. It's a complex process, obviously. It's a multi-page application, and it's easy to get tripped up. But if a family were paying for care, and, you know, my understanding is that as you once you have submitted an application that is acceptable, then the benefits would be retroactive.
Right, they're retroactive.
Still, if the client dies during the process, or the vet dies during the process, they would not be approved, so they wouldn't be able to.
Right, once they're approved, they'll pay for that period that's covered between the application and when the person dies. But if they die before they're approved, there's no point in going forward.
Right.
What is the approval period? I know at one time it was close to 6 months. Is it still?
It's still long, yes. It still takes them a long time to process the applications.
You mentioned that they look at the income generated through Social Security and private pension. Does long-term care insurance impact that, or is that a separate?
What happens is they match up your income against your unreimbursed out-of-pocket medical expenses. So if long-term care is paying for that, that's not an unreimbursed out-of-pocket expense. So you have to look at whether you have enough unreimbursed expense over and above your long-term care to match up against your income. If it doesn't match up well because you're getting most of it paid for by the long-term care policy, it's probably not. You're probably not at a point where you're ready to make an application. I've had quite a few clients where they've had a policy, but it only lasts a year or so, or it doesn't pay a very high daily rate, and it's still worth the effort, but it just depends on the circumstances.
Now, the second part of my question then is there a partial benefit available, or is it an all or nothing? You either
there is a partial benefit available. If your expenses were only up to, say, 80% of your income, you would get 80% of the benefit is the way it works.
Okay.
Then you have to decide whether getting 80% of that benefit on a monthly basis is worth the expense of coming to an attorney to help you work that out.
So, obviously, home care, nursing home care, assisted living care, those would be items that would go in onto the expense column. What other types of things can be added into the expense column for doing this calculation?
Medical insurance premiums. A lot of seniors have Medicare supplemental policies. If they're paying premiums, that's an expense. You could look at one-time expenses that, at least for that first year, annualize out for 12 months, like the expense of adding a ramp to your house or the expense of durable medical types of equipment. So those
prescription drugs
that you're paying for out of pocket, yes.
And I've heard conflicting information on whether independent living would qualify.
It's not your environment, it's what is happening in your environment. If you are getting assistance with activities of daily living, it's caregivers are coming in to help you with two of the six activities of daily living, whether you're in your own home, in an independent living facility, either one, you might still qualify.
Now, what are the six activities of daily living, just in case some of our listeners aren't familiar?
Bathing, getting dressed, toileting, food preparation, medicine management, one more, making one presentable. I think that's kind of in the clothing area.
Mobility?
Maybe, yeah. Mobility. There's another rule which is very helpful. It's not helpful for independent living or assisted living, but if the doctor in his statement says that, say you have Alzheimer's and you need to be in a memory care unit, if they say in their evaluation that you need, quote, a protective environment, end quote, then the expense of that facility is going to be qualified.
So interesting point, because you talked about independent living. So independent living, that's just rent, and that doesn't qualify. But
right.
if there's home care,
right.
That does qualify.
The rent is not what you would present to them as one of your expenses. You have to present the cost of the caregivers coming into your independent living situation.
So what about assisted living? Is there a portion of assisted living that's assigned to rent, or is the entire amount?
It would be the same thing unless the doctor says you need, quote, a protective environment. If somebody is in assisted living, they oftentimes are willing to say that in their evaluation.
Okay.
And then the entire cost, they don't break it out.
And certainly in a memory unit of assisted living, that's pretty easy, because cognitive impairment is
right.
One of the things that is, you know, considered like an ADL.
Right.
However, if they're just in assisted living because that's, you know, they want to be social, they want the socialization aspect, so that may not be.
You might have to look at the individual cost of the individual caregivers providing care for activities of daily living and not the entire cost of the assisted living facility.
That's interesting. That's not something I've ever considered before.
In my experience, at the assisted living I was the administrator at, you always have your meals as part of it. So there's one of your ADLs. Typically, anybody that wanted to qualify for Veterans Aid and Attendant had to have one level of care. So that could have been the bathing and dressing. It could have been medicine. So usually anybody at a level zero wouldn't qualify because we were only providing that one ADL. They usually had to have one additional.
And then if they were at the next level up, then the entire cost of the assisted living would be attributable, just the additional level of service?
They had it all as part of it, because the meal prep is a significant portion of what you're paying for at the base level. So normally all of it would get them that.
Let me go back to, and you've mentioned several times about the family having to make a decision about whether to spend the money to use an attorney. I was under the impression that you could not charge a family directly for the preparation of the application for aid and attendance.
Right. There's two parts to what we do. One part I charge for and one I don't. I do the application. A lot of attorneys don't, just because they're not getting paid for it.
Right.
But we are not allowed by the VA to charge for the application. So I am charging a fee for their planning, just like an elder law attorney who helps them manipulate assets, creates trust, et cetera, to deal with Medicaid or estate planning. I'm charging that for that part of of my activities that are the planning part. There's a written plan. There may be trusts involved. There may be interaction with insurance companies that help us put into place immediate annuities, which are sometimes a tool that we use to turn assets into income. So there's various things that we do that are not part of the application, and we don't charge for the application.
Sure.
One other thing I might add about that, just for the public, which is a point to remember, there really are only two types of people you should be dealing with in this type of planning. The VA has a list on their website of accredited agents and accredited attorneys. Accredited agents don't have to be attorneys, but there are a lot of people, unfortunately, financial planner types that are going around doing this type of planning for people, quote, free, end quote. And it usually involves trying to ultimately commit somebody to buy annuities as part of the planning. But I would encourage people to stay with accredited attorneys and accredited agents. I am an accredited attorney, so they will know that I have received some training on VA issues so that I hopefully know what I'm doing.
Tell us why you do what you do. Obviously you've chosen law as a profession. You could have gone into any area of law, but you've chosen to kind of focus in elder law, estate planning, probate. Why do you do what you do?
Couple of reasons. I started as a traditional estate planner and had a number of families whose parents were in this situation and asked me for advice. It was not an area that I knew about or had been trained in originally, so to be able to answer their questions, basically, I got involved. Both of my parents many, many, many years ago died of cancer. Especially my mom had a fairly lengthy process where I, in fact, had to go back and forth to Arkansas and help her find caregivers in a small town in Arkansas, which is amazingly difficult. And so I have quite a bit of empathy for people in that situation, and because of that, it just felt like a natural fit to me.
Great. John, if you had a piece of advice that you were going to share with our listeners, what would you tell them?
I believe that I would have the same advice that your earlier guest had, and that is to plan early. I know that oftentimes the type of clients that I have, for whatever reason, ended up in a situation where they don't necessarily have long-term care policies. So, for the baby boom generation, certainly consider that. But for those who are past that, perhaps they're beyond the point where they could medically qualify, talk to an elder law attorney early and find out, is there any planning we can do at this point? Should we wait? There's a lot of information that would be helpful in knowing what's coming down the road.
Great. And what about some contact information?
Let's see, the phone number is 214-691-7781. The email address is jmcnair@bmhlawfirm.com. That's probably the two best ways to get hold of me.
All right.
And is there a website?
It is bmhlawfirm.com.
bmhlawfirm.com.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, John, thank you again for being here. My gosh, it just doesn't seem like it's been 18 months. When you said that, I was just like, really?
Yeah, I was shocked when you told me that as well.
Incredible. But it was great having you back. It was excellent information. And we'll look forward to seeing you again maybe 18 months from now.
Okay.
Or
I'll be ready.
To our guests in Atlanta, Carrie and Sue, thank you for being with us this morning. And it was a pleasure having Aaron Grass in the studios with us as well. So to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. As always, you can listen to a rebroadcast of this show by going to www.ujiriaradio.com. We're also available on iTunes. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Ujiria Radio. In the meantime, if the youth of this nation are its greatest national treasure, then it stands to reason that the seniors of this nation are its I blow that every time.
Me too.
How many times have I said it?
Sam's the only one that can do it.
Well, let me try this again. If the youth of this nation are our greatest national resource. It stands to reason that the seniors of this nation are our greatest national treasure. You'd think I'd have that written down. Mm-hmm. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.